In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hey, family, just as a preface thought here that occurred to me as I was reading the gospel, when the slaves discover that there were weeds growing in there, and the master says, well, an enemy has done this. He came and did it when people weren't looking. Another way to think of this is infiltration. Well, Dr. Taylor Marshall has this great book out entitled Infiltration, and it shows how Satan infiltrated the church. It gives us a great understanding for how that took place, why there are weeds growing amongst us now. The good news is that if we stay close to the unchanged, unchangeable truth, we will grow up to be weeds, as Jesus said in his parable today. But the weeds are there. Let us not pretend otherwise. Let us not pretend that we haven't been infiltrated. Go read that book by Dr. Taylor Marshall. He's a great guy. Well, dear family, our meditation today is on the gospel fact that Satan and his minions are running about the world, sowing weeds, seeds of weeds. And we recognize some of the seeds in the words of propaganda that Satan and his minions use. So in these desperate times, they call for desperate measures. It's why I once again urge you to sign up for Father Heilman's U.S. Grace Force, the Fast for Freedom from the Devil. Well, let us begin by first recognizing what psychology teaches us about our human nature created by Almighty God. For example, psychology teaches us about the primacy and recency effect to human learning. The primacy and recency effect is a fact of our God-created human nature, and it goes like this. Also known as the serial position effect, like serial as an order, it regards a tendency to recall earlier words spoken, that's the primacy effect, and the tendency to recall the later words spoken, that's called the recency effect, the more recent. So one might conclude that as it applies to these meditations here, you might like this part, the study of human nature tells us that you will remember the first things I say and the last things. But as for those 20 minutes in between, not so much. Well, don't get your hopes up too quickly about dispensing with those 20 minutes in between, as the primacy and recency has its effect only when the stuff in the middle is unrelated to the beginning, the primacy, and the end, the recency. And I'd like to think that the entirety of our meditation all relates together and enables you to remember, if not the specific words, at least the concepts. And I have greatest confidence that you will strive to remember the concepts because you know, as do I, our eternal salvation depends upon it. As if I didn't think that was true, I wouldn't spend so much time working on these things. Another example of how our human nature affects our learning and why not just the beginning and the end are important, but those 20 minutes in between, there's a three-step simple method used by professional speakers that goes like this. Step one, tell them what you're going to say. Step two, then say it. And step three, tell them what you just said. So primacy, recency, and related stuff in the middle. And then tell them what you're going to say, say it, and then tell them what you said. These concepts help us to understand our human nature that God created and how it affects the way that we learn from the world around us. So let us apply this along with the PNC, the principle of non-contradiction. We've talked about this before, that principle that if something is true, anything contrary to it is false. Let us apply this all to learn about three things. First, antisocial distancing is contrary to our human nature. Secondly, who are Satan's minions out there sowing seeds of weeds? And thirdly, what can we do about it all? So the first concept, antisocial distancing. Your family, those who control the words that we use control the culture. Control of the words is the entire foundation to all propaganda. Hitler's propaganda chief certainly knew that. Control the media means controlling the words. Control the words, control the message. Control the message, control the people. The clearest example that I ever could think of controlling the words to control the people are the words used to cover up, to mask satanic evil. For example, we have the words choice and women's reproductive health, which mask just how satanic are both artificial contraception and the slaughtering of innocent babies in the womb. These godless people are sowing bad seeds in the words they use, in the propaganda they spread. And as Jesus said in today's gospel, and make no mistake about it, they will be gathered up at the end and will be burned eternally in the fiery furnace. The fact is that God damns artificial contraception and God damns abortion. So when you hear anyone use euphemisms to support either of them, understand that you're hearing the words, the voice of Lucifer in the garden all over again. Unless you get discouraged just about how bad things appear, always remember, that's the good news now, that the great Saint Michael here defeated Lucifer. And our Blessed Mother here, she is going to crush his head. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Well, those are two easy examples of sowing seeds of weeds in the words used. One other seed of weed for this morning is the rallying slogan, love is love, which, as anyone with a brain and integrity readily would confess and admit, is a moronic, useless, meaningless, circular definition. Any real Catholic never would assert that love is love, because any real Catholic understands that real love means sacrificing oneself for the good of the other. And we know this to be true because Jesus, the Lord, gave us the best example of that. That is the reason that he allowed himself to be crucified, to prove to us not that love is love, but rather to prove that real love is self-sacrifice for the good of the other. Now listen closely. Any other definition of love is a lie, which is why it is so moronic for the mayor of Seattle to call the Chop Zone, to have called the Chop Zone a summer of love. The mayor of Seattle does not know the first thing about God, nor the first thing about divine love, or she never would have said such a moronic thing. We probably should be thanking her for flying her true colors when she called the Chop Zone lawlessness that summer of love. Two murders, at least one rape, and other violent crimes later tells us all we need to know about her and her utterly failed left-wing Marxist stupidity. So let us now apply all of this to what's going on today in the midst of the fourth month of the radical and diabolical attempts to shut down the global economy and destroy humanity. Hear and understand how the control of words has furthered the godless and diabolical proposition of antisocial distancing. Dear family, humanity and human nature, as created by Almighty God, if we believe in God, humanity is social. Therefore, there's no such thing as social distancing. What is being forced down our throats by the godless fascists is anti-social distancing. Call it what it is. And anti-social distancing is a godless, diabolic assault on our human nature. Being human means being in communion with each other. It means being social. So from this point forward, every single time you hear someone mouth off about social distancing, realize that there is nothing social about it. It is anti-social distancing. Well, I experienced this firsthand going to last week's wedding in Cincinnati and visiting family in Michigan. I drove through three states that required antisocial distancing and antisocial face masks. Dear family, recognize these propositions are not from heaven, where our Father in heaven told through us through his Son, Jesus, do not fear anything that can kill the body. Fear what can kill the soul. Recognize then these propositions are from hell, and recognize now how they have baited and switched the words used to convince us that we all must wear them, mandatory. If one chooses to wear them, fine. That's our personal choice. But it can't be mandatory. At first, the explanation as to why we must wear a mask was for our own good, to protect ourselves, which left the door open for personal choice, whether we wanted to wear a mask or not, whether we wanted to weigh the benefits of social and antisocial and decide for ourselves whether or not we wanted to wear one. Well, suddenly, this just happened here in the last week or two, suddenly their proposition as to why we should wear a mask has morphed from, I cannot wear a mask to protect myself from you, into, listen closely now, I must wear a mask to protect you from me. We have to give the devil his due. The metamorphosis was brilliant. Because now the fascist government can justify mask enforcement by saying it, the fascist government, has the right to protect others from me. Well, dear family, let us use our heads. When I had to go into the hospital 2 weeks ago today, they tested me for COVID. If you haven't been tested yet, it's very unpleasant. Well, despite the fact that I have distributed thousands of Holy Communions on the tongue, interestingly enough, the Catholic Medical Association, as you know, from both the United States and Italy, where it was the most hit hard, both have said it's safer on the tongue. Remember when I mentioned that, I don't know, maybe a month ago? I said, I'm just waiting for the shepherds of the church to step up to the plate and say, just like they outlawed, which they weren't supposed to do, outlawed communion on the tongue because they said communion in the hand was safer. Now that we know communion on the tongue is safer, I still haven't heard a word about any of them outlawing communion on the hand because communion in the tongue is safer for you and for me. Well, despite the fact that I distributed thousands of Holy Communions on the tongue, despite the fact that I've heard hundreds of confessions, despite the fact that I wandered through airports in Minneapolis, LA, Portland, and Seattle, despite the fact that I wandered around both Walmart and Festival at least weekly without ever putting on a mask, I tested negative. So watch. You and everybody else I met out there did not get me sick. And I, therefore, could not get anyone else sick. So to mandate that I or you, perfectly healthy individuals, must wear a mask to protect you from me is utterly and completely moronic. As one doctor said to me, never before in history have we quarantined the healthy. And yet there I was on my drive to the wedding in Cincinnati and to family in Michigan. I drove through at least states that required perfectly healthy people like myself to wear a mask, antisocial mask. And your family, well, it might not seem like a big deal. No, Father, why are you going on about this? Understand the incremental way it gets us to accept future greater erosion and elimination of our personal liberty, an erosion or elimination that already has taken place over our freedom of religion. The governor in California just mandated another lockdown that keeps open liquor and pot stores as essential, but locks down churches as non-essential. And next up, this incremental elimination of our religious freedom is a requirement that we have to take the vaccine. It's not going to be a choice. After all, why wouldn't you take the vaccine? Not to make sure that you or I didn't get sick, but to make sure we don't get somebody else sick. That's the logic, the illogic, I should say. And dear family, again, this is utterly moronic logic. Well, thankfully, I previously covered this topic at a semi-annual priest meeting when a lawyer had the temerity to stand up in front of all the priests and try to school us in Catholic morality. by telling us to our faces that it was unconscionable for us to not require that every student in Catholic schools be vaccinated. Dear family, about 96% of people choose to be vaccinated. If I choose not to be vaccinated, I do not pose any risk whatsoever to any of those 96% who did not get vaccinated. If I'm one of the 4% who chooses not to be vaccinated, which actually is my God-created right and freedom to choose, a God-created right enshrined in our Constitution, then I freely choose to assume the risk that I might get sick. That is my choice. That is your choice to make. It's a choice of every one of the 4% who have made it. We rightfully choose to assume the risk that we might get sick. So beware the incremental erosion of our personal religious freedom. Comprehend the words they use for virtue signaling, like if you were a virtuous person, you'd wear your mask, you'd antisocial distance, you would take the vaccine. It's virtue signaling that they use to force compliance with their agenda upon us, saying, if you really cared about your fellow man, you would wear your mask, you would get the vaccine. In other words, if you do not wear a mask, you must be a bad guy, so we're going to arrest you. Imagine that. Never mind that the violent criminal who assaulted three officers on the Brooklyn Bridge was arrested but let go. God forbid we keep a violent criminal in lockup, but let's lock up people who exercise their God-given freedom to live in communion with other human beings, to live in the freedom of the Constitution, which protects our God-given rights. Oh, dear family, understand that this anti-human, anti-social, anti-Christian, mandatory mask or a vaccine agenda is diabolical. And further understand that the research behind it is not only flawed, but sometimes it's just made up baloney. An MD working in New York with 40 years experience has contacted me several times, actually took time to dissect the studies used by the CDC, as if we can trust them, to justify the wearing of masks. And he discovered this in one of the big studies used by the CDC, that two of the articles cited supporting mandatory masking, that the authors are from Texas A&M, the University of Texas, the California Institute of Technology, and the University of California, and the five authors are not medical doctors, but are from departments of atmospheric sciences, geological and planetary sciences, chemistry and biochemistry. And the articles make multiple assumptions and contain many misleading statements. That's what the CDC relied upon to tell us. We have to have masks. We need to take that vaccine. But your family, this reminds me of that climate change document under the Clinton administration where about 2,000 or so scientists signed it, if my memory serves correctly. About 2,000 or so scientists signed it, yet only about a half a dozen worked in the field of climatology. While some of them, I couldn't make this up, were gynecologists, like as if they know something about climate change. Your family, this attack on humanity all comes down to one thing, the denial of God, creator of all things. And this is all relevant to the gospel today because Jesus talked about this very stuff in his parable about Satan's minions wandering around sowing seeds of weeds amongst us. Any seeds that undermine humanity and human nature, any seeds that attack attendance at the holy sacrifice of the Mass, while at the same time allowing, like in California, liquor and pot stores to remain open, are seeds of weeds. And the results, of course, are predictable. A parish up in Minneapolis area finally reopened. It should not have been closed in the first place. As you've heard me say so many times, if this pandemic, I call it plandemic, so do others, if this plandemic were a fraction as dangerous as they want us to believe, then all the more reason to keep every single church in this country open so that you would have access to sacramental grace, so that you would be in a state of grace should God come calling to call you home. Well, this parish in Minneapolis finally reopened, and it created a training video to teach people how it was going to allow reception of the Holy Eucharist, the real presence of Jesus, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Holy Eucharist. I saw it with my own eyes, the video. It showed how individual consecrated hosts were placed in plastic sandwich bags on a table in the entryway. And as each person left the church, all the while practicing antisocial distancing, they were to grab one of those plastic sandwich bags and immediately go to the, couldn't consume it in church, no, immediately go to their car. And then when they got in their car, close the door, shut the windows, take the sacred host out of the plastic baggie and consume it. No instruction as to what to do with that plastic baggie and any of the crumbs of our, any of the particles of our, of the Holy Eucharist. Well, thankfully, the great Archbishop Hebda squashed that godlessness like the bug that it was. We have to wonder, though, don't we? Don't we have to wonder how it is all the news made it, it made in all the news, that a priest of 37 years was instantly removed. I think it was down in Indiana somewhere. Instantly removed because of an alleged poor choice of words in describing the Marxists. Yet, did that priest who taught utter sacrilege in his training video, putting the Holy Eucharist in a plastic sandwich bag, did that person get removed? That's sacrilege against Christ himself. Did he get removed? Was there a protest outside that church to have him removed for sacrilege against the Holy Eucharist? Dear family, is it any wonder that the percentage of baptized Catholics who no longer believe in the real presence now has grown, I just heard, to 74%. So we've talked about antisocial distancing. We've talked about Catholic, anti-Catholic sowing seeds of weeds. Now let us get to the final part. What can we do about it? Well, I encouraged you before, and I encourage you again. Go to Father Heilman's website and enlist. All you do is you click this button with your mouse. Enlist in the Fast for Freedom. Father Heilman, he's a rock star in all that he does in bringing grace, God's grace to people. Go to his website, US Grace Force, and enlist in the Fast for Freedom. Each day there's a particular reflection on sin and vice, the encouragement to practice our faith, the encouragement to strive to live up to the Gospels. As page 5 of our bulletin has said, for over a year, we study such Catholic traditions. We participate in our Catholic traditions because building our faith does not happen by accident. And dear family, these are desperate times. And what might have gotten us by in easier times will not protect us in these desperate times. I'm talking about protecting our eternal souls. St. Peter, the first vicar of Christ on earth, wasn't kidding when he said, "Be sober and vigilant. Your opponent, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, steadfast in faith." So if we ask ourselves, well, what can I do? There's our answer. Be sober, be vigilant, resist evil by being steadfast in faith. And that means recognize and resist the evil seeds being sown amongst us, the seeds of weeds. Of course, that requires us not only to know our faith, but to practice it so that we grow strong in our faith. And if we ask ourselves, how do we practice it? It can all be summed up in three words: prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. And Father Heilman's Grace Force is all about helping us pray and fast. And as to almsgiving, well, I rarely ever talk about tithing, but all three methods, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, tithing, they also cover a multitude of sins. Good idea to tithe. So at the beginning, I told you what we're going to talk about, antisocial distancing, and we did. I told you we were going to talk about sowing evil seeds of weeds, and we did. And I told you we were going to talk about what to do about it. Sign up for Father Heilman's Grace Force. And we did. So may God bless our every effort to pray, fast, and give alms at this time, especially in these desperate times, because they do call for desperate measures from all of us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.